Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, that's pound 529, from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. We're going to have Rich Gannon join us in the next segment to get our perspective from our quarterback here on VSiN. Carl Johnson, how do the books do down there at Beau Rivage? We'll catch up with Carl in hour number two. Michael, you know me as a Cowboy backer, right? And what did I say to you all week? Like, there's no way Dallas is going to D.C. Like, to me, it was lay the points of the Commanders or pass. I'll be honest. I did not see this coming yesterday in Washington, D.C. Cowboys get the win 34-26, 41 combined points in the fourth quarter. I still don't even can't even transcribe what we saw in the final 3 minutes of that football game with, you know, kickoff returns, two kickoff return touchdowns for Dallas in the final 3 minutes. Somehow we see Daniels gets over the top to McLaurin. He goes 70 yards to the house. They miss an extra point that would have tied it. I mean, it was just absolute calamity. Can you describe what you saw yesterday? Because I really can't make sense of it.
I can't either. I mean, if you'd have told me the Cowboys are going to score 37 points, I'd have said you're crazy. Now they got two of them on kickoff returns. Let's be honest, right? I mean, why are people kicking the ball to him? Why would you ever? I mean, he's one of their only weapons they have on offense. Like, why would you kick it to Turpin? Like, why would you ever do? I said it at the beginning of the year. Don't ever kick the ball to Turpin.
No.
I mean, if you're Dan Quinn, you know Turpin. He's their only player. He's an explosive guy. You kick the ball off to him? Are you kidding me? And you make it easy so Cooper Rush doesn't have to complete a pass? I mean, and then I have no idea. What were they doing on that coverage to McLaurin? You say he got over the top of him, but, I mean, that was like the play in New Orleans when New Orleans got beat by Minnesota. It was like, how does this happen?
Yes, it was.
I mean, that play, two guys got knocked out of the play by Diggs.
That's right.
But still, I mean, and then, you know, then they come back and they onside kick it, and then they get, I mean, wow. It was, if you had the under in this game, and you gave up 31 points in the fourth quarter
41.
Alone. You're like 41. I'm sorry. 41 in the fourth quarter.
I mean, think insane. About
it. It makes no sense at all. I mean, the game, what's the game? It's 10-9 going into the fourth?
Yeah. It's 10-9 going to the fourth. It's 3-3 at halftime. Like, it just blows your mind. The total sitting at 44. You get 6 points at the break, and you end up with, what's my VCU math? 60 points. I mean, we got people.
It's amazing.
33 people, Michael,
I mean,
out of circus.
33 people
survivor.
Lost out.
How about that?
I know. I mean, I could understand it. You're sitting there saying, wow, we had it, you know. And that, look, the Chiefs, eight people got lucky on that. The smartest eight people were the Broncos and the Bucks. Let's be honest. Those two teams weren't losing either one of those games. And the Packer game, only because of what happened with the Packer injuries.
That's,
I mean,
right,
with the 49er injuries. The 49ers are not a good team at all.
No.
I mean, they're just not. They have too many injuries. You know, Brandon Allen's not a good enough player. But even if he were a good player, Debo drops a ball, interception. I mean, they dropped. I mean, everybody's talking about how Jordan Love played. I thought Brady was right at the end of the game. Let's not anoint these guys so quickly. I mean, Love tried to throw a couple interceptions. They just didn't catch them. You know, it was one of those games where they had their hands on a few balls. But this Niner team isn't the same. But getting back here to the Cowboys, I mean, look, I think what we've seen, at least for three quarters, we saw how people want to defend Jaden Daniels, right? And I think that's critical. Now, he had 7 rushes in the game for 74 yards, so he was able to get going. But, you know, that happened later in the game when he could escape. But I think they're making him have to beat him down the field. McLaurin wasn't doing anything in that game until that last play.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it all just happened. So, you know, we haven't seen the adjustment from the Commanders to that Pittsburgh game plan.
Three straight losses,
right?
Now, yeah.
You know,
three losses now in a row since.
And so
that's
got to concern you. That's got to concern you if you're Washington. That Eckler was hurt coming out of the game, which has also got to concern you. And look, let's face it. We know Washington's not great on defense, and I know they gave up 14 points on special teams, but still. This is one of those. And then, look, special teams was a story. What, they had a block punt, right?
Yeah, block punt. You know, they blocked a field goal. The Commanders could have taken control of this game in the first half with those block kicks, multiple, and a missed field goal also by Brandon Aubrey, which is rare for Dallas. So they had their opportunities in the first half, and they could not do anything, as you mentioned. And that's really where they lost the game. I know we're going to look at the Wild final, 31 points in the last 3 minutes, 41 points in the fourth quarter. But really, if we're being honest, they had their opportunities in the first half with short fields and could not get it done. So three straight losses. And by the way, Michael, how about this? I think we all thought this thing was wrapped up, right? Jaden Daniels going to be the offensive rookie of the year. And now he's down to minus $1.35. And don't look now. You can look. Bo Nix is plus $1.10 to win this award. And you mentioned it with the Broncos, and they win by 10 yesterday out here in the desert against the Raiders. But again, that eye test, and you've been watching him a lot. Yeah. And I remember going back to the Ravens loss where they got blown out in Baltimore, and I went, man, this Bo Nix can play. Even in a blowout, you could see it. Yeah. And now, Michael, eye test. I mean, it's a two-horse race. Brock Bowers is 25-1 is the third betting option. If you had to back a horse here, which horse would you back? Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury? Or Bo Nix and Sean Payton down the stretch?
I think Sean Payton's done an amazing job, right? I mean, first of all, he takes a guy that most every draft Nick said he shouldn't have taken, right? So he spits in their face on that one and says, look, I'm taking this guy. And then he gets them to play really well. So let's be pretty clear here about what's going on. I mean, this guy's got expertise in the field. And so, you're the Giants. You need a quarterback, but you can't take Bo Nix because you don't have somebody coaching him who's got the expertise, right?
Yep.
Think about this. Think about all the teams that passed on Bo Nix. Well, the Raiders passed on Bo Nix because they couldn't see how to develop the player. See, that's the beautiful thing about scouting is scouting isn't evaluating the production of the player. Everybody can do that. Scouting is seeing the player and then being able to project him forward, to project him to where he's going to go. And then Sean did that with Bo Nix. He had all the characteristics. He had great skill. The kid's become very accurate. I mean, yesterday they put it up 42 times against the Raiders, right? And they were in a lot of third and longs in that game. And he ends up 40% on third down. And they made a bunch of field goals. And look, that game, if you had the Raiders and laid the six and got the six, it was a killer.
Yeah.
I mean, you got beat by 2 50-yard field goals, 53, 54-yard field goals. Those kill you. And then they have the ball in the one-inch line, and you can't get it in to get a backdoor cover.
You make a great point about who's drafting you, who's got the vision for the player. Sean Payton has it. Other organizations don't. You're right. He told everybody, hey, I don't care what you guys all say about my pick and Bo Nix and what you think of it. Just watch. I'll make it work. It's working in Denver, right? I mean, that's
and it wasn't ego-driven, Dave. It wasn't ego. It wasn't like I'm going to take Tim Tebow and show you what I know, right? No. I know what I want. Yep. This is what I need. This is exactly what I have to have. And I'm going to make this guy really a good player. And he did it. And I think, to me, you got to give him complete credit for it. That's why you're paying as much money. That's the expertise you get with hiring somebody like that. And if you gave him somebody, he couldn't do it with Russell because Russell couldn't do what he needed him to do. Russell, he doesn't want somebody looking at a play sheet. He wants somebody to be able to call it out, wants somebody to be able to adjust it. And he's doing exactly that. I think the same thing with Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
You give him a good player who fits what he wants to do, they're going to get him the guy to play good. I think that's what we see with Brock Purdy.
It really is fun to watch. If you're watching Bo Nix play with Sean Payton, you're going to understand exactly what Michael's talking about. Even in defeat, you can watch some of those earlier games. You could see it working for Bo Nix. I don't know if we see it working with the Philadelphia 76ers, Michael. It's a cheap way for me to tell you that the NBA is back. And right now, we got pick six from DraftKings. It's an official betting partner of the NBA. So it's super simple to get started. You download the DraftKings Pick Six app, then select two or more players and choose if they're going to have more or less of a stat, such as points, rebounds, three-pointers, and more. Pick Six players can play $5 and get $50 in Pick Six credits. Download the DraftKings Pick Six app now. Use code VSIN. That's code VSIN for new customers. You're going to play $5, get $50 in Pick Six credits. That's on DraftKings Pick Six, and the crown can be yours. It will not be the Philadelphia 76ers this year, we don't believe.
Wow, how bad was that last night? God. In fact, I saw a tweet by Keith Pomeroy, who writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He said, this loss was very reminiscent of the early days of the process. Think about that for a second.
We're all the way back
there. That's how badly they got beat by the Clipper. And I didn't say it. He did. It's a comedy. It's a complete comedy. It's a good thing they have that first-round pick protected. They traded it for Al Horford. They traded to get rid of Al Horford. They had to give away a pick, and it's top six protected.
Horford goes and wins a title with the Celtics. By the way, of course he does. I saw that tweet and I thought, do you just bite your tongue? Like, you're like, I told all you guys this. I told you all this, but you see it play out.
Oh, it's
right.
I love it. I enjoy it so much because I think it just proves that all you people that want to talk about load management and rest and all those things about not working hard and the process and giving up, this is what you have. You have a culture that has nothing about winning. And it's going to continue that way, and it's going to be disruptive. And I don't think Embiid, look, he's got swelling on his knee. He's got a degenerately bad knee. What level do you think he's ever going to get back to?
Oh boy, thank God they got Saquon Barkley. It's still football season for Philadelphia because the 76ers, it might be a wrap. When we come back, our NFL MVP quarterback Rich Gannon joins the program next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Lombardi Line here on VSiN. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. And depending on how your wagers went yesterday, America, I'm always curious how the books did on a Monday. So for that, we're going to go down to the Beau Rivage, catch up with the sportsbook director there. That is, of course, our friend Carl Johnson. You can follow him on X as I do at Jick Jack Johnson. Joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. And before we get to the NFL, Carl, Michael and I were just talking a little bit about Indiana, that first loss to Ohio State. I just went and looked and saw Alabama, who's got Auburn coming up this week, of course, in their big rivalry game. They got three losses now. To make the college football playoff plus money, plus $1.80, is Bama dead? Are they ever really dead even with three losses, Carl?
Yeah, I don't think so. I was preparing for the show here just looking at these 13, 14, 15, and 16 teams that are on that bubble. I think they're live, Dave. We're going to come down to that point where like we always do, except this year, it's team 13 now that we're looking at. But, what if they somehow get into the championship mix and they beat Georgia? Georgia's going to have three losses also. So, somebody's going to get in there. Tennessee's probably in the best spot out of what happened this past weekend. But we'll see. But, yeah, it's going to come down to that. We're going to experience the same thing that we have.
Yeah, do you think – what's your thought on it? We just talked about Indiana. What's your thought on them getting in? They have to get in. One loss, what more can they do, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think they should get in. They got Purdue this week. One thing for sure, all these teams, if you're like if you're ranked 7th on down to 12th, you've got to win this week. And those teams are, Tennessee, Miami, SMU. SMU, Indiana, Boise. You got Clemson. Clemson's got a big game against South Carolina, but you're right. I think Indiana deserves, especially a one-loss team, I think they definitely deserve to be in there.
Minus 2,000, if you can believe this, in 2024 for Indiana to make the college football playoff. Never thought we'd be saying that, we are. How did you guys fare this weekend with some of these results and some of them, of course, down south?
Yeah, so, we had a good weekend. Saturday was pretty much a break-even day for us. our best outcomes, Ohio State, like we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, we've been getting some Indiana bets here. Ohio State winning and covering was good for us. Kansas beating Colorado was very good for us, the way they beat them. You know, Colorado's been getting a bet pretty good here too. And then, of course, the obvious elephant in the room, the Oklahoma-Alabama game. I mean, who would have, you know, that was a really good outcome for us, especially for where we're at in a part of the world. You know, we just get pounded with Bama money, and with Oklahoma winning out right there, it, you know, it helped us with some money line parlays and teasers and stuff like that. Bad outcomes. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask you, when you mentioned Oklahoma, who do you have coming from the Big 12? Who do you think is going to be the Big 12 champion? What's your numbers on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know, Mike. I don't follow the Big 12 as much. I mean, I know it's up in the air. I don't have a good feel. I have no idea.
That feels like right now the Big 12 is maybe the most jumbled right now. And again, with Colorado taking that loss against Kansas, certainly they're going to take a hit as to whether or not they can make the college football playoff. I don't know that there's a pathway anymore for Deion and company. Let's get to the NFL. And I think you had something you wanted to get off your brain a little bit about kicking in the NFL. Because, you know, I'm always trying to make a case for the kicker, Carl, because I don't know that they've ever been more important in the NFL as actual weapons like they are in 2024.
Well, look, I'm a weird dude, man. I get something in my mind, you know, and this is a couple weeks old. This is when Denver got that field goal kicked. You know, it just I started looking at some stuff, these field goals being blocked on the right hash mark. And so I started, you know, usually I start equating everything back to my golf history. Okay. So what I'm thinking is, you know, and it was genius because they said that Reed knew that there was a weakness on that side. So I think the guy had been pancaked like 8 out of the last 10 times that they had attempted a field goal. So they send a rush in. They lined up the field goal's placed on the right hash mark, okay? The rush is coming in from the left side of the offensive line. The kicker has to start that ball off left. You have to start. He has to start it off into the hands coming into play, and I just think it's conducive to more blocks. To me, they would be better off, just like a golfer. If you got out of bounds on the left hand side of the fairway, sharp to you, you're gonna line up on the left. I'm lining up on the left hand side of the box. I'm hitting it right center of the fairway and trying to draw it just a little bit. So I think they would be better off, and I would just love to do a little test. I wish I could click on all these films and see, but I think there's more field goals kicked on the right hash than the left.
Well, I think to me, whenever there's a Chicago's offensive line is not physical enough, and you could see it on their field goal block, people push them back.
Right.
And once, you know, once you get a homer on that tape, and once people know we're going after this guy, you know, then they just keep going after him. And they're going to keep going after them until they replace them. And so it's either you're coaching it or allowing it to happen, Carl. I don't know about the right hash or the left hash. I think a lot of it has to do with the security of the line and how much attention they're paying to it. For Chicago to get another field goal block this week after they got one block last week, that's coaching malpractice. Because what you want from your coaches is to correct the problem. Right? You knew it was a problem. You should have practiced it all week. You should have looked at it closer, and you should have handled it.
Yeah, that's right. I'm right there with you guys. Kicking, it's never been more at a premium. And some of these teams, as you guys are talking about, Denver a couple weeks ago against Kansas City, can't execute that kick. The Cowboys had a punt blocked and a field goal blocked and still figured out a way to win that game against the Commanders. So kicking is paramount right now in these games that can be decided with really just by kick. When you look at the results this week, Carl, so far in the NFL, how did you guys make out? I maybe that Eagles game last night, how'd you guys fare there with them easily covering the number in L.A.?
Yeah, so good week for us Sunday. You know, anytime, look, so if you go by opening lines, you know, the sheet comes out like today for this week. But for based on opening lines, we had six favorites, six dogs. That come through. I think four of the dogs won outright based on the opening numbers. So anytime you get that, it's a good result. You know, we had a couple of great results yesterday that really helped us. You know, Dallas winning outright, for example. You know, they Jaden Daniels just being a past LSU guy, he gets bet here. We've been getting a lot of Washington money this year. So that helped us there. The Chiefs, you know, doing what the Chiefs do. I think they were 11-point favorite, you know, just getting by Carolina. I think 30-27. And then the Titans, you know, getting what, 7.5, winning outright 32-27. Bless you. that was a good outcome for us. Really, the only bad outcomes that we had yesterday was Green Bay, you know, winning 38-10. Brock Purdy was out. And then Miami, you know, we had some people get on Miami yesterday pretty good, and then winning 34-15 covered that. But a great day for us.
Carl, what did you end up closing at 49er Packer game?
Let's see, Mike, the 49er Packer game closed at, I think, 6.5 here.
And tonight, Carl, what are you guys seeing action coming in? Because we saw this did hit some threes back down to 2.5 for the Ravens in L.A. against the Chargers.
Yeah, so we opened here 3-50, you know, and right now we're at 2.5 and 50.5. Great game. I mean, this is two of my favorite coaches, and I think you guys were talking about it. Both of these guys are game managers. I love to watch these guys coach, and I agree with you guys. You know, manage the game. I don't know why. You know, Andy, there's people that can do it. Andy Reid's one of them, but they need to. We need more game managers, I believe. But great game here. To me, it's probably more important to the Ravens than it is for the Chargers. But we'll see how it goes. Should be a great one.
Carl, we always enjoy the conversations on a Monday, my friend. We'll catch up again next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Thank you, Carl.
Don't eat too much. All right.
Right back at you, Carl. Right. I love Carl talking about his golf swing because we know the NBA, by the way, is also in full swing right now, playing Pick 6 from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Very simple. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app. Select two or more players. Choose if they're going to have more or less of a stat, as in points, rebounds, three-pointers, and more. New Pick 6 players can play $5, get 50 in Pick 6 credits. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Use code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N. For new customers, play $5, get 50 in Pick 6 credits. We'll put a wrap on this edition of the Lombardi Line next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. One more game to wrap out week number 12 in the NFL season tonight in SoFi. We'll get to that game in further detail here in just a couple of minutes. But Michael, looking back on what we've seen so far in week 12, it feels like that Brown Steelers game was a year ago already. It was just Thursday.
But
it's just like, it's amazing how quick we move on to the next. What are your takeaways so far in week number 12 in the NFL?
Well, they're only going to be one team from the NFC West, right? We know that. It's either going to be Seattle, Arizona, and they're all four still in it, right?
Yep.
Even though San Francisco looks like they can't really muster it. I think Minnesota and Green Bay are going to be better teams than the NFC South winner and the NFC West winner.
Yep.
They're going to be better than those two teams, right? So I think to me there's a little bit of the pairing. So we open up. I mean, Philly would open up against Washington. Okay, if it were today,
yep.
You know, and then of course Seattle would play Green Bay, and you would favor that, and Atlanta would play Minnesota. And I think to me the lower seeds would be favored in two of the three games. As for the AFC, you know, Miami has to me coming out of the weekend. I think this is a huge game for Miami on Thanksgiving night in Green Bay. I don't see how Indy could get it since he's still alive, although they've got Pittsburgh, which is shocking, right? I looked up the Pittsburgh's coming off that 10-day bye after they lose to Cleveland. Pittsburgh's a 3-point dog going into Cincinnati.
Mm.
you know that number is going to go to 2.5 once all the Tomlin people start betting that one, right?
Yeah.
But I think what we've seen is I think Houston's fraudulent. I think Atlanta's a fraudulent team. I don't think Seattle's a good team. I think Washington's, and when I say fraudulent, I don't think that they have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
They can go to the playoffs, but they don't have a chance to win a Super Bowl. And I think this Denver team, which people would say doesn't look like they're going to have a chance to be the same.
All right, we're going to get Michael's connection back here in just 1 second. But point well taken by Michael, that there are certain teams. You got to fill out 7, right? You got your 4 division winners, and you got your 3 wild cards. And Michael, to finish that thought, you're right. There are certain teams that feel like they're just kind of placeholders, right? They're going to make the playoffs, but have no real chance of advancing. Whereas you could look at Minnesota and Green Bay and feel like in the NFC at least, they might have a chance of winning a game or two.
They're going to, yeah. I mean, I think certainly Green Bay. Look, I think Jordan Love is a little bit of a wonderful. I think he misses some throws down the field. His accuracy down the field isn't really good. I think the conversation we haven't really had that probably we should be having is why has C.J. Stroud regressed?
Ooh.
He's not the same player he was last year. I think that's the conversation you have to have when you look at all his analytical numbers, and it's surprising that people look. I think he makes some incredible plays. But he's not getting protected, and they run the risk of him getting hurt. I mean, it's really bad, the protection there. People are going right after him. So, and I don't think Houston's good enough. I think Houston is kind of – if Indy could do anything and if Jacksonville could have done anything to start the year off, the South could have looked differently because I don't think there's a good team in the South. That's what's going to make – it's interesting. That's going to make Jacksonville, when they fire Doug Peterson, who they haven't fired yet – it's going to make Jacksonville an interesting job because I'm not sure there's a dominant team in the South. Everybody thought it was going to be Houston because of Stroud, but if you watch Stroud play lately, you wouldn't be saying this.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people thought Houston was a dark horse to win the AFC at the beginning of the year, and I don't think people think that any longer with the eye test not looking the same. And by the way, spot on your picks again this week. You gave out Philadelphia 2.5. That cashes easily. You gave out the Packers -3. That was never in doubt yesterday. Yeah. If you want all the picks, everybody, you're going to get them. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, we do have a special running right now. Of course, it's Thanksgiving week, so we got a Black Friday special going on. It's just $60. Covers you all the way through May 1st. So, again, daily best bets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. That does make a big difference, of course. 24/7 video access. So all the way through the college football playoff, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Check it out. VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. So let's try to stay hot and get to our best bets. And they are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And Michael, we do have one more game to wrap up week number 12. And I think you do like the Ravens on the road. And this has been a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Coming off a loss, and I know it does feel like a long time ago, but they are still coming off that loss to Pittsburgh last time out.
Yeah, I mean, look, and they've got to rally around it. It's a hard game. I think a little bit of there's certain levels that you get to. I think the Chargers are a good team. I don't know if they're at another level, and I think tonight we're going to find out, right? It's the same thing about the Rams. I thought the Rams were not playing their best football, even though everybody talked about they're on this incredible win 4 of the last 5. Well, the Rams lost to Miami at home, and they got beat up, right? They went to New England the next week and held on. New England moved the football on them. I think the Chargers are on this 4-game win streak. They lose to Arizona in Arizona. Arizona played them really well, but I think Herbert's healthy now, and they're a different team. But this is a Raven team that can play either way.
All right, we're going to get that connection again, and I'm right there with Michael on this one. The Ravens can play either way, right? You want to play fast, you want to play a track meet, they're fine with that. You want to play it ugly, you want to run the football, they do a good job of stopping the run. And this total of 50 is tricky because I think it's prime time. We just saw it last night with Saquon Barkley and the Eagles, and that total gets home late with that second Saquon Barkley touchdown. But Michael, I'm interested to think, do you think it might be a little bit closer to the vest? It could be a little bit lower scoring than people anticipate?
Yeah, I do think it will be because I think people are going to be – because, look, both teams want to try to run it. You know, both teams want to try to run the ball. And when you run the ball, the clock tends to eat up, right? There tends to be a slower game. And I think, to me, the Ravens, they can get into a track meet, but I think they want to control the pace of the game, right? I think they want to control the pace of the game. The second half has been disruptive for the Ravens. They've not been good in the fourth quarter. I think they want to be able to build that lead going in the fourth, give themselves some cushion. But look, the one thing about this Raven team with Lamar, when the game's on the line, the ball's going to be in his hands. You know it. And so that lends itself to the big play.
You know, the three losses that the Chargers have had this year have all been dead unders, right? You go back to the loss in Pittsburgh early in the year. I know Herbert was a little bit banged up. The loss against Kansas City was a one-score game, 17-10, right? So it feels like when they lose, when the Chargers lose, these games are lower scoring. Can the Ravens still play a game like that? Because, again, all three of them, Steelers, Kansas City, and then the Cardinals were all low-scoring one-score games. Is that or two-score in Pittsburgh, 20-10. But, again, all dead unders. Can Baltimore be physical like that, stop the run, and keep the Chargers at bay offensively?
I think they can, David. I think to me, you know, the one thing about the Ravens is they can pretty much play any tempo. But I think what both these teams really want to do more than anything is they want to play from in front. That lends itself for their defense to take more chances. It lends itself for the defense to play a little bit more aggressively, and it doesn't put them on their heels. And it's one of the reasons why both teams – look, think about how these both teams are built. Both teams are hard to run the ball on. Both teams stop the run, and both teams can run the ball. Whereas your Cowboys can't stop the run, nor can they run the ball. That's the worst place to be. The Giants can't stop the run and can't run the ball. But when you can run the ball and stop the run, you're a good team. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to score a lot of points. I get that. Nor does it mean you're going to win a Super Bowl. I get that. But it puts you in position to be able to control the pace of the game, and I think that's what – ultimately, tonight will be all about who's going to control the pace of the game, and I think it'll be the Ravens.
It seemed like an unnecessary shot at my Cowboys, Michael.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, look, when you're in this situation that you're in, you're going to get a lot of going to get a lot of shrapnel coming at your way. I mean, it's just the way it is. I can't apologize for it.
We know what your deficiency is. The NFL, they do not play nice. They're going to come at you. If that's what your weakness is, they're going to exploit it. Of course, the GBank Visa Signature Card is your best bet. It delivers 1% cashback rewards on all eligible gaming transactions, 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. So for more info, head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions do apply. Michael, very quickly, too, when you've got Jim against John tonight, and we know Dad, Jack is the architect here. Is there an advantage? Is there a coaching advantage with these guys? Or, man, we know each other. It's Thanksgiving week. We've been sharing these secrets for decades.
Yeah, no, I don't think there is. I think there's both teams. They know each other. They both know how both will react. And, you know, the coordinator element that Roman has been on both sides of this game. I think to me that it's going to come down to the players on the field and how that matches up. I think that's going to be more of the story than the coaches. I think it's what happens in between when the game starts. It's can they control Lamar and can Baltimore control Herbert when he's throwing the ball as well as he is?
Yeah, it definitely is an all-in-the-family feel tonight in SoFi for the Ravens and the Chargers. Michael, I'm going to go home to Virginia Beach for 4 days, but you're going to have the great Will Hill hopping in for the next four, so I know the show is going to be great.
We'll miss you, David. We'll miss you, but we'll welcome you back on Monday when we overreact and we'll talk about your Cowboys Thanksgiving Day victory against the Giants.
Yeah, don't let them Wally Pitt me for 4 days, Michael, while I'm gone. I really enjoy the show as always. Happy Thanksgiving, Michael, to you and your family as well and everybody out there listening. Again, do not go anywhere. Got you covered right here. A numbers game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin coming up next. Then we got Money Moves with Stormy Bonnetone, Jeff Schwartz at noon Eastern. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on the Lombardi Line.